The Nets opened the season as the favorites to win the NBA Finals, but Brooklyn did not win a single game in the playoffs, being swept by the Celtics. It's the first time both KD and Kyrie have ever been swept in the playoffs, and the first time Kyrie has been eliminated from the playoffs in the first round. Here's what he had to say after their exit.
I felt like I was letting the team down at a point where I wasn't able to play. We were trying to exercise every option for me to play, but I never wanted to just be about me. And I think it became a distraction at times.
All right, Mad Dog, I'm going to start with you on this one. So a lot of things went wrong with Brooklyn this entire season. Who would you blame the most for their Nets failure?
Well, listen, he's hanging fruit. So if you want to kill Kyrie, I'm sure Stephen A. might do that in a second. Go ahead. I mean, and I would be I'd be right with him on that. I think, to me, he's poison. I don't think you're winning with him. Mm-hmm. So I'm down on him. But I'm going to put the blame on ownership and, to a certain degree, the GM, Sean Marks. This is an enabling organization. They fired Kenny Atkinson. He did not deserve to be fired a couple years ago. Why? Because Irving and Durant decided they didn't want to play for Atkinson, so they got him out of there, and they bring Nash in, who had no experience whatsoever. That's number one. You can't have your players tell you who they should have coach. And they didn't want to play for Atkinson, so they fired him. That was a disaster. That's the first thing. Second thing, they bring in Harden at that trade. You should all know, and they gave up Allen, who's a very good boy. Could they have used him in this series against the Celtics? The size and everything else? And he's a good piece. He's a good intangible player. They bring Harden in, who basically annoyed everybody in Houston, didn't want to play there. That should be a warning right out of the gate. When you got a guy who basically decides he wants to not play for a franchise, yet he wants to play for you, that makes you wonder, you know what, I'm not going to go with this guy because he might not want to play for me down the road. I'm going to have the same problem that the Rockets had. So that's the second problem I don't like. Thirdly, they got all these rules for Irving. They did a good thing at the beginning of the year. You know what? No vaccinations. He's not playing any game. Not going to play on the road. This is our team going forward. And it's unfortunate if it changes, we'll get him reinstated. But right now, he's not part of the ball club any way, shape, or form, which is the right way to go. Then they had some injuries, and they go the other way. Well, you know what? Now we can play. We'll let him play on the road. We'll worry about home thing. So they had the one situation where he couldn't play at all, which was the right thing, because they didn't enable a player. And then they're in a situation where they change, and they get off it, and they say, well, you know what? We need him now because they got a bunch of injuries. So to me, the Nets, and they're a very polarizing team anyway. To me, the Nets are exactly what they are, what they showed. This is their team. They have no winning culture. They got a couple of guys on the team. They play isolation basketball. They have Irving, who basically runs the whole deal, decides when he wants to play, when he doesn't want to play, and this is what you get. If they ever give him a big contract extension, they're absolutely crazy. But I'm going to put the blame on ownership. You don't see this issue with Harrison down in Miami. He lets Riley run the team. They got a winning culture, and Miami every year gives you good effort. The players play, and all of a sudden, once in a while, they play in an NBA final. There is no winning culture with the Nets, and for that, the ownership and Marks have to take some responsibility. Atkinson, trades, letting Irving basically rule the roost, that is what gets them in trouble. And so when they had to be in a situation where they had to have an identity and dig deep against a tough team and a tough-minded team in Boston, they had nowhere to go, and they cough up and blow four games. So I blame it on the ownership.
Not bad, doggy. Not bad.
You agree?
I get where you're coming from. I didn't say that. I mean, I agree with you in terms of what you're saying about them, just not that they're the primary ones responsible for all of this. And the reason why I say to you is that, again, Kevin Durant arrives. He's around the team. He's one of the preeminent stars in the basketball universe. He comes to you as a two-time champion who would have won three straight if he didn't tear his Achilles. So remember, his first year there, he was not on the basketball court.
Correct.
But he was around the team a lot. Right. And because of his basketball acumen and him being around the team, if somebody like Atkinson was not somebody that he wanted there, then you have to trust that he might have an idea of what's best, particularly at that moment in time where he was presumably going to the New York Knicks and then he was convinced to come to the Brooklyn Nets. So you hand him the franchise, you got to roll with them. So I'm not going to blame ownership to the degree that you did, because I thought initially they had no choice. Now, from this point forward, you got to bring a heavy hand down, because you gave him 3 years and you gave him the opportunity to turn around this franchise and to do so in a way that was productive and beneficial to all parties concerned. And that is not what has happened. So now you don't have to capitulate to Kevin Durant the way that you once did. But 3 years ago, you did. Ultimately, this comes down to Mr. Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving And I'm saying this because of what he has done over the last couple of seasons. I'm not even bringing into any differences with LeBron James. I'm not bringing in anything with Boston and, you know, whatever leadership he was lacking when Tatum and Brown went to the Eastern Conference Finals without him. But when he got there, they were bounced out by Milwaukee in the second round. I'm not bringing any of that up. I'm just relying on Brooklyn since he arrived. This guy's one of the worst teammates you could possibly have. He ain't worse than Ben Simmons. He is the worst. Ben Simmons might be the worst teammate in the history of basketball. I mean, when you really, really think about it. And by the way, just as an aside, let me say this, doggy. I saw Jalen Rose on Get Up this morning. And we are all mindful and sensitive to mental health issues. We understand how serious it is. The Kevin Loves of the world, the DeMar DeRozas of the world, and others have spoken up about it. They haven't been ridiculed. They've been completely supported. We understood what they were going through. They were honest and straightforward about it. They came out. They said what they had to say. They put forth their due diligence to rectify whatever was going on, and it's still a work in progress, and they're back out on the court doing big things for their respective franchises. Ben Simmons is not to be compared to those guys. This dude is on the bench looking like a male model, okay? Got on pink shades one day, orange pants another, doing everything he can to bring attention to himself, except for when it comes to getting your behind on the court and playing basketball. He might be the worst teammate in the history of sports. Kyrie ain't that bad, but Kyrie's pretty bad.
100%.
Because let me tell you something right now. His first year, KD can't play. Kyrie goes down after 20 games, okay? But you have people saying before the season even began, he wasn't going to give you more than 25 games. He just wanted to do just enough to show you what a showman he is so you could fantasize about what him and KD would be together. But since they weren't going anywhere without KD, he was going to be off for that season, okay?
Good point.
Then, yep. The next year, 54 games. What happens? The pandemic takes place the season before. You missed the season, gets halted. You got injured before the season was halted. Season's halted for 4 months. You try to persuade people not to participate in the bubble. Then they do anyway. You don't play then. And then after you don't play, supposedly because you were injured, you come back in December after a 10-month hiatus. And what do? With Kevin Durant there, mind you, the season starts in December because of the pandemic, which led to bubble play, which pushed back the season because the previous season had ended in October with the Lakers winning the chip. You start the season on December 22nd. And 2 weeks later, you take off because of the U.S. Capitol riots.
No, it's a joke.
Like they got something to do. I mean, this, you took off. And then, by the way, when you were scheduled to come back, you got busted partying with your family, knowing good and damn well the safety protocols that were in play. The second you got busted, it would mandate that you had to stay away because there was no vaccine at the time, and they couldn't let you just come back without making sure that you didn't have anything that you could contaminate anybody else. He did that on purpose, in my estimation. Then we get to this past season. There is a vaccine. You didn't anticipate a mandate. Fair enough. But no one did. And still, everybody signed up for it but you. You were the Lone Ranger that said, y'all on your own. KD, handle it. I ain't taking this vaccine. I'm going to have to sit out. Yeah, you were anticipating that Mayor Adams, the former Brooklyn Borough President, would win the mayoral election in New York City. Ultimately, he would lift the mandate. But you still knew that was going to take months. And you left Kevin Durant out to pasture. You left him hanging out to dry. You left him hanging. You just flayed out. Just let him go. You just left him out there. Okay? It's not an accident that Kevin Durant looked exhausted. He might have had a hip injury or something for all we know. But there's no question that he was fatigued. Well, don't you think that Kyrie's absence had something to do with that, considering the load that he had to carry? Kyrie has proven to be about Kyrie. He don't care about anything compared to himself. I mean, we all put ourselves first, but damn it, not by a mile, not by 5 miles, not by 10 miles. That's Kyrie Irving. And so because that's what he is, I have been on the record stating this. He's box office. He's sensational, guys. I think in today's NBA market, that $45 to $50 million a year, as a player, he's worth it. If possible, I would have an opt-out after every single season just to make sure, doggy, that he showed up to work to earn his money. Because if you just give him a guaranteed five-year deal,
he's not going to play.
I promise you. Right now, Doggy, I don't know if you know this stat. In 11 seasons, Kyrie Irving has played 60. He's played more than 60 games four times.
Yeah, it's a joke.
He's played 60 or less seven times.
Wow.
That means for three quarters of Kyrie Irving's career, he's missed a quarter of a season. This brother gets his time off from work. And we ain't talking about the 6 months he's got for off seasons. We talk about during the season, he makes sure he gets off. This is a brother that works 3 to 4 months a year. That's who he is. And that's why the Brooklyn Nets are really in the position that there is. There is no one who deserves more blame for the Brooklyn Nets' demise than Kyrie Irving. It ain't even close.
That's why they got to get rid of him. He's poison. I agree with everything you said. You did a great job of chronicling it, but winning culture starts from the top. Look at the Knicks with Dolan.
Now.
Winning culture stops from the top. And that ownership, along with Marks, and he's part of ownership, they have done an awful job of establishing an identity. You don't get Atkinson fired after he did a great job at that team.
But, Doggy, you
can't.
He made
the playoffs. Did a terrible job. The Simmons
trade,
even forgot to mention it. I blame ownership. They have let Kyrie rule the roost. You don't win that way.
Mad Dog, I want to ask you a quick follow-up question. You said you're blaming ownership. Obviously,
yep.
They allowed Kyrie to play for away games this season.
Right.
Do you feel like if they did not let Kyrie Irving play at all this season, the season would have ended differently?
Maybe he gets the vaccination shots if he can't play the road games. Who knows? But you can't. Here's the bottom line about the Nets. How did it end up? They let Kyrie do everything he wanted, and they fired Atkinson. They get Harden, and then they trade Harden for Simmons.
Well,
how did it end up? They were laughing stock.
But the part
no, they
that
got
missing,
swept.
Hold on. The part that you're missing, Doggy, that's very, very important, which is why I don't side with you about the owners. Now I do, moving forward, because Kyrie has, he can opt in and play the final year of his deal, or he can opt out and look for a new deal. But now they're incredibly more empowered because of the durability of his contract. I'm sorry, because of the flexibility of his contract, not to mention the fact that they've proven that their formula, meaning KD and Kyrie, doesn't necessarily work unless you're going to do things the right way. The point is they didn't have that knowledge nor that latitude 3 years ago. They have it now.
Well, Durant signed, so they don't need him. They can blow him off. They got Durant for the next 4 years. He's not going anywhere, and he's better than Kyrie anyway, and he's more important. So they can get rid of him.
All right, we'll see what happens in Brooklyn.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Last night, the Devin Booker-less Suns took a 3-2 series lead on the Pelicans. Mikal Bridges shined with his second career 30-point game. Meanwhile, Chris Paul doing point god things. 22 points, 11 assists. Last week, Mad Dog shared he's not particularly a huge fan of CP3.
We all make Chris Paul. You know, he's not a transcendent figure because he does State Farm commercials. He's not a this is not Ray Bourque with the Boston Bruins who went to Colorado and won a Stanley Cup. The whole world loved it. This is not Oscar Robertson going to Milwaukee so he can
win a
championship.
You love Bob Cousy, didn't you?
He is not beloved.
You love Bob Cousy, didn't you? Did you talk about Bob Cousy?
Did
you rave about Bob Cousy? You know what Isaiah Thomas is? Are you talking about pure point guard, quintessential floor generals? Tell me somebody in the game of basketball better than Chris Paul right now. Tell
right
me one
now?
Person. What?
Can I think about it? And I have thought about it. And now we're going to give you a little lesson, a little
Lord.
Education, especially Stephen A., who doesn't. We have to make sure he's on top of this. We did my little list. The Mad Dog top 5 point guards of all time. And I understand some of these guards are hybrids. I get that. The pure point guard nonsense that Stephen A. likes to tell you about. All right, number
Here
5. No argument with number 5. I want to put Curry, make him happy, at number 5. I understand that Curry is a guy who does a lot of things but just be the typical point guard. But he's won the 3 championships. He only won one by himself. But I'll make he's a great shooter. That's part of being a great point guard. Makes people around him better. I'll be nice. Number five. Number four, he got to three finals. He won a championship with Dallas. His defense, his intensity, his energy. I don't love him as a person, but number four, we will put Jason Kidd at number four. He's a big time. And he, you know, one thing about Jason Kidd, he made big shots, but he had to make big shots. I understand he wasn't a great shooter, but when he had to make a big jumper, he made a big jumper. Kidd is number four. Number three, it's not even an issue. He's underrated because Jordan hated him. And Bird, not even an issue. Two titles. He was a point guard long before Dumars showed up. He won championships in college. He is an all-time great. Quickness, jump shot, making people better. Not even close. Isaiah is number three, Mr. Thomas. And I'm not a big fan. Ask the Knicks. He ran that team to the ground, but he's number three. Number two, and he's a point guard. He is not a two guard. Triple-double. Pounds the ball, people better. Didn't have a lot of great players around him. Not even debatable. He went to Milwaukee, helped Al Sunder win a championship. The big O is Oscar Robertson. He is number two. Don't debate it. Don't tell me, oh, I'm not sure. No. Two. And number one, nobody could argue, even I can't come up with one, although he wasn't great in the 84 final when Bird was better. Magic is five championships. Nobody knows how great he was. 6'8", the break, made big shots. Listen, I'm not stupid. I want to cause a little fun, but I'm not crazy. Magic Johnson is number one. Those are your five best. Now, to be nice, I'm going to give you some honorable mentions to make sure we're all in the same mixer with honorable mentions. Listen, you're going to laugh. Go ahead and laugh what you want. I don't want to hear J.J. tell me, J.J. Redick, about, well, there was no players. Nonsense. He was all-team NBA when Oscar and West were in the league. He won a million championships, 29 assists. He was all-NBA 11 straight years. Bob Cousy is an order. Is a no if and no if, ands, or buts. Bob Cousy is in your honorable mention list. That's number one. Number two, I love the way he shot the basketball. I love the way he didn't have a lot of great players around him. He was great with Dallas, great with Phoenix. I love the way he played the game. Wonderful shooter. Nash, Steve Nash. You can't coach. But Steve Nash is an honorable mention on our scenario. And then number three, it's Stockton. Nobody's going to sit there. Nobody is going to sit there and tell me that John Stockton is not one of the top 8-10 point guards in the history of the NBA. And what do all these guys have in common? They play in big spots. Magic championships. Oscar championships. Isaiah championships. Kidd championships. Even Curry championships. Stockton lost to Jordan championship finals. Nash, if he didn't have that collision there with the Spurs and the freaking Stoudemire, they would have walked off the court. They would have won that series. Conference finals, at least minimum. And nobody could sit there and tell me about Cousy. The one thing that Mr. Smith's going to make a big deal about, Chris Paul. He's played in one, not two, not ten, one conference final. That's it. Last year in the NBA final, he was the point guard. They lost four straight games after a 2-0 lead. By your eight best point guards without an issue. You can figure out the order in the history of the National Basketball Association. Your turn.
Are you finished? I can't believe. And listen, that how in God's name do you have a top eight point guard, the top eight, and Chris Paul is not on the list? How is that possible? You should be ashamed of yourself. And oh, by the way, I mean, listen. We all know that the athletes today are surreal. They're significantly better than the athletes of the past, okay? There's no arguing about that. And Chris Paul, a miniature dude at 6 feet, could barely touch the damn rim, certainly doesn't have an above-the-rim game or anything like that, is the quintessential point guard, floor general of the modern era. There is no question about this. No question about this. Every place he goes, they're better than when he arrived. We understand that. We all understand it. And a floor general is a guy that is an extension, an umbilical cord of the coach, who runs the show, who's responsible not just for himself, but everybody else. And I notice how you didn't mention defense, because Chris Paul has always been an all-NBA defender. We're going to forget that, right? But that's okay. This is where you really get blasphemous and hypocritical. And take those highlights off right now, because I want to see Doggy when I'm saying this to him, because he's hypocritical here.
How?
How in God's name
Yeah.
Do you not have Jerry West as your top eight?
Because
one
Jerry West,
no, wait,
I am
wait, wait,
putting
wait,
Jerry
wait.
West as a two guard.
Excuse me. They had him as a dude. He was a combo guard. He could play point as well. He went to nine NBA finals. He's 0-6 against the Boston Celtics with Russell and everybody else.
Right,
we get all of that. But
right,
he's
fine.
Hold it. He's the silhouette for a reason. Right. Okay. By the way, and let me get to your order. I got Magic number one. We agree there. Okay. I'll even go with you with Oscar Robertson number
hold,
two.
So what, you can do me a favor? Because
yes, I am doing you a favor. We'll go with Oscar Robertson there, okay? Okay, I got Steph Curry number three.
Oh, come three-time on,
champion.
Steven.
Let me finish. Three-time champion, five straight NBA finals, the greatest shooter in the history of basketball,
I agree.
who transformed the sport. We're talking impact here. We're not
Tony
talking
Kuzi.
Central point guard. We're talking
Tony
impact.
Excuse me.
Please. Where would Kuzi have been without Russell and Havlicek and those guys? Just stop it, okay? Don't give me that nonsense, Sam Jones. You never bring him up. Where would he be? Want to hear about no damn Kuzi. I respect him, but damn it, stop it. All right, we got Magic. We got Oscar Robertson. We got Steph Curry. We got Isaiah Thomas at four, okay? Two-time champion, okay? NCAA as well. The man's a champion, all right? And then number five, I would tell you Chris Paul. I put Chris Paul right there, number five.
Let me tell you. Where's his rings?
Hold on. Wait a minute. Let me say this to you. Fair enough. So I would take Chris Paul. And I would say to you, if he got a title, I would put him in there. But we'll take Jason Kidd and we'll drop him to number five instead. Okay? With Chris Paul right there. I'd put Chris Paul ahead of John Stockton in a heartbeat. I'd put him ahead of John Stockton without question.
A game for my life. Stockton's my point guard.
I'll
tell you something else.
What?
You want to put West in here? I was doing you a favor. To create
do
a spot.
A favor.
Because
do
I don't think well, I
I'm
look at West as a two guard. I look at West as a two guard. If you want me to put West in to be nice, you know who's getting knocked out of here? That man right there at the bottom.
Steph Curry?
Stephon Curry.
Something
out of there!
Wrong with you.
I'll put West.
With you.
No, and I'll put West up at number three. Isaiah four, hit five. If you want me to put West in there.
Are you telling me that, and I respect profoundly the great Jerry West. I mean no disrespect. He knows that I love the man. You trying to tell me that you will put him against ahead of a three-time champion who is known as the greatest shooter in the history of the sport? Are you kidding me? Have you lost your ever-loving mind?
Number five. Jeez, take it easy. I got him number five.
Steph Curry's impact on the game of basketball is worthy of top three status.
Well, why don't you put Kuzi up there? There wasn't a point guard before we had Kuzi.
Listen. Please, he can't even. And then the one, and he can't even dribble with both hands. Just stop it.
I was actually thinking about Dick McGuire, too. He was a great point guard with the old Knicks. But I didn't do that.
Dick McGuire? Really? That's what we doing?
His number's in the Raptors.
And nigga, stop it. Just stop it. Magic, Oscar, Steph Curry, Isaiah Thomas. I'll give you Jason Kidd. Put him at five with CP3. At number six, who will go into the top five if he wins a championship.
You are crazy. Boy,
I was with you. I was with you until you said Steph Curry gets off the list. And
if it's West, off it's West.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, please.
I
was with you. I was with you until that.
How could you do that?
It's bad.
Thank God it says
right,
Mad Dog's listed. Damn sure ain't mine.
Not my list either.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The First Take Draft Blitz rolls on with the Giants. The G-men have had their share of Giant picks over the last decade, from OBJ and hard-nosed corner Eli Apple to more recently in Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. New York has the 5th and 7th picks in this year's first round, 9 picks total, but I'm going to be retrospective here with this. And Doggy, I'm going to go to you first. Which was the biggest draft mistake? Was it Daniel Jones or Saquon Barkley?
Has to be Jones. Everybody thought that Barkley was going to be a Hall of Fame running back. Nobody screamed and yelled when they made him that 4th pick in that one draft. He was great before he hurt his had the ACL. So I'm going to give him a little break on Jones. Now, they shouldn't have probably taken a running back in the 4th pick. You know, a lot of teams that do that with the running backs in the 4th pick. Fournette is a good example with Jacksonville. They draft him too high. So I probably wouldn't. That's a mistake from that standpoint. But the player himself, I can understand it. Daniel Jones was ridiculous. He was the 6th pick in the draft. The Giants, if they wanted him so badly because they fell in love with him there at Duke with Cutcliffe, they could have sat there and they could have gotten him later in the first round. To use a 6th pick on Daniel Jones made absolutely no sense whatsoever. And listen, Jones might be okay. The Giants like to tell you he hasn't been surrounded by the right people and lots of different coaches, lots of different systems. The bottom line is a quarterback has to inspire. He has to get everybody around him to believe that this is the guy, that no matter how bad this scenario is, he'll figure out a way to get us home in a specific ball game. And Jones has not shown that he has the ability to do that. He has never really overachieved. He's had a couple of good games here and there that get you all expectation and all fired up. Game last year against New Orleans, he played well. His first ever game against Tampa, he scored 32 points. But overall, he has been a huge disappointment. And you can make a mistake with the 4th pick with a running back and survive. Fournette, Tampa, Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. You can make that mistake. You cannot make the mistake with the quarterback. If you draft the quarterback that high, and if asked to Arizona with Rosen, if you draft a quarterback that high and he turns out to be, and that's what Daniel Jones is, that is a mistake that will set your franchise back 5-6 years. So to me, that's their worst pick in the last 7 or 8 years at the draft board.
You're wrong. But I forgive you. But I forgive you for what you simply do not know. And you're about to sit up there. This is one of those moments where you're going to go, good, you got me there, Stevie boy. Way to go, Stevie boy. You're about to do that. Because here's the deal. It's Saquon Barkley. And the reason why it's Saquon Barkley, Doggy, is this. This is a 2018 draft. Do you remember who was drafted?
Yeah, 2018? Mayfield, the first pick, yeah.
Let me stop you. Giants had the 2nd pick. They obviously couldn't get Mayfield, okay? The Jets had the 3rd pick. They drafted Sam Darnold. They made the same mistake. Denver had, the 5th pick. They drafted Bradley Chubb. They needed a quarterback. They made a mistake. They all made a mistake. You know why? Who went number 7? Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Anybody that had a top 10 pick that missed out on Josh Allen is the biggest culprit. This is a superstar. You understand that? We're talking about Josh Allen in the same sentence that we brought up Patrick Mahomes, that we're bringing up Joe Burrow, that we're bringing up Deshaun Watson. We've got Josh Allen right now, arguably number 2 in everybody's eyes in terms of young quarterbacks outside of Patrick Mahomes. Now, Deshaun Watson was out last year for obvious reasons, and now he'll get an opportunity to come back in Cleveland and show and remind us of the superstar talent that he is, because that brother is something special as a quarterback, okay? Lamar Jackson, everybody was raving about him. You don't have anybody saying that he's better than Josh Allen. Not over the Josh Allen that we've seen in the last 2 years, particularly in the playoffs. Did you see the way this brother performed against Kansas City? Was that not one of the greatest fourth quarters, if not the greatest fourth quarter that you've ever seen back and forth? Wasn't his fault Buffalo Bills lost. I am an African-American. I am a black man who looks to promote black coaches at every turn, and I could never again promote Leslie Frazier, because you were the defensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills and you couldn't stop the Kansas City Chiefs from getting a field goal range in 13 seconds. 13 seconds, okay? They kicked the ball over 13 seconds and you let Patrick Mahomes and them, along with your coach McDermott, get in field goal range. I could never stand up and say, Leslie Frazier, guess what? You deserve to be a head coach again. I can't do it. You can't make that mistake in an ABC, in an AFC divisional playoff game, because I believe Buffalo would have beat Cincinnati, okay? So what I'm saying to you is this. When we think about Josh Allen, the only people we're going to put Tom Brady ahead of him based on resume, we're going to put Aaron Rodgers better than him because he's Aaron freaking Rodgers and we know how spectacular he is. We're going to put Patrick Mahomes in because he's a superstar. There is literally no one else that you could definitively say you would rather have at the quarterback position than Josh Allen in the entire NFL. And this guy went seventh. The Cleveland Browns picked Baker Mayfield ahead of him. The Giants picked Saquon Barkley. The Jets picked Sam Darnold. The Denver Broncos picked Bradley Chubb, who can ball. He's no scrub, but he's not a quarterback. You needed a quarterback. So Josh Allen went seven. And look at him.
Yeah.
I would say to you, the big mistake was drafting Saquon Barkley instead of that brother.
Well, the only problem I have with your argument, as usual, is you got to kill six teams then. You got to kill the Browns.
I killed four.
But this is about the Giants. So why should the Giants get pounded when five or six other teams also made the mistake? So I have
what
to.
What do you mean? Plus, he played, talking about the other teams.
Plus, he played at Wyoming. Nobody knew that Allen would be this good. I got to give the Giants a little pass on that. I got to give them a little pass.
But
that's
hold on,
not
whoa. We're not there.
You're being a little rough.
Hold on, wait a minute. Hold on, wait a minute. Do I ask them? Listen, Mitchell Trubisky, they moved to Chicago, moved up to get him coming out of North Carolina.
The point is,
listen, we ain't asking them to host First Take or Mad Dog Radio. That's their profession. It's their job to know, not us. And hindsight says they were wrong. They missed.
He's got a fair point because they could have taken it, but I disagree with him. But I understand what he's coming from.
Let's open this up a little bit, because between the Giants and the Jets, the state of New York football has been really bad lately. But let's open it up and look at all New York teams. Which is the furthest away from winning a title, Stephen A?
The New York Jets. Ladies and gentlemen, the New York Jets have been so bad they still market Joe Namath. Are you kidding me? I mean, listen, during the football season, do y'all understand that we've actually seen promos with Broadway Joe wearing a fur coat 1 minute, or sitting on one of them lounge chairs or by a pool with his shorts on from 1969? Are you kidding me here? I understand the Knicks. Let me pull a doggy out here and just steal a thunder from one of his points, because he tries to do it to me all the time. He's going to mention the Knicks and all of that stuff. Well, that's 1973. I went back as far as 1969. That's the last time the Jets have been in a Super Bowl, let alone won one. The New York Knicks have been to not one, but two finals since 1973. When I look at the New York Jets, they've been horrible. I mean, the only thing I like about them is their practice facility. It's pretty nice. I've been there. And the food is great. And their chef is fantastic. Okay, that's about it. I mean, there's nothing to brag about with their football team. Nothing.
If they didn't have Zach Wilson, he would probably be correct. But everybody thinks that Zach Wilson's got a lot of Patrick Mahomes with him. And so you have to give the Jets the benefit of the doubt because of the quarterback.
Yeah.
The Knicks have nobody. They have nobody. They stink. All right? They don't have a great – their ownership is a shaky scenario. Leon Rose is not exactly Jerry West. I like Thibodeau, too. But still, the Knicks are a mess. They can't even make the playoffs. They can't make the play-in. The Jets have a quarterback who could be very, very good. And because of that, the Knicks are much further away.
Questions about Jets management. Questions about whether or not Salah, who's got a defensive background, is the right coach for this franchise.
I agree.
And plus, and listen, the Parcells is not walking through that door.
That's
okay. Let's be very, very clear. You know, Rex Ryan is not walking through that door.
I agree.
He took him to a couple of AFC championship games. He's not walking through that door.
But if Wilson is good, Stephen, if he is as good as they seem to think he is, that's a player the Knicks don't have.
Yeah. All right. He can sling that thing. Right. He can sling that
thing. I can't argue with that.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Donovan Mitchell left in the fourth quarter of the Jazz's blowout loss to the Mavs on Monday due to hamstring tightness. Our Adrian Wojnarowski reported yesterday that an MRI revealed good news, that the expectation is that Mitchell will play in Game 6 to help try and keep Utah's hopes of moving on alive. Stephen A. has not been shy about being a fan of Donovan Mitchell. Here's a take you had last week on Stephen A.'s World.
What I said about Donovan Mitchell is that he's the best talent Utah has ever had. Donovan Mitchell's skill set, his ability to handle the ball, finish at the basket, shoot three, shoot a mid-range game, what he brings to the table in that regard. I'm not talking resume. I'm talking talent. And I don't believe that's deniable. I don't give a damn what you say.
All right, Christopher Russo. Hey,
cool. It's unfortunate because I like his theme because he's trying to, he wants to make sure about Stockton and Malone. So he's not as good as those two, but he's giving you the skill set. There's no way, under any circumstances, he's as good as Pistol Pete Maverick. Not a chance from a talent-skilled standpoint. Maverick was a magician with the basketball. Led the league in scoring. Scored 65 points against Frazier and the Knicks in a game in New Orleans. Different city, same franchise. Now listen, Maverick was not a winning player. He didn't make anybody around him better. He was a one-man carnival act. I'll be the first to admit it. Mm-hmm. But as far as Maverick averaged 44 points a game in college, which people don't, and that's with Dan Issel and that tough conference. That's how good Maverick was. I love Stephen A. He's usually sharp, but maybe he forgot that New Orleans, that Utah was down in New Orleans first as the Jazz. Pistol Pete, without any argument, is the most skilled player the Jazz ever had as a friend.
You know, miracles do happen. Miracles do happen. I'm going to stand down on that, Dougie.
Oh, I don't believe it. Let me tell you why.
You are absolutely right. It completely slipped my mind because it was New Orleans as opposed to Utah. I was thinking Karl Malone and John Stockton because that's what I've been arguing with everybody that has texted me or emailed me or whatever about it or got at me on Stephen A's World when they were talking about Utah because of Karl Malone and John Stockton. I wasn't even thinking about Pete Maravich because from an offensive talented standpoint, Pete Maravich was the real deal. There is no denying that. He was a magician. He did average 44 in college. I mean, the guy was absolutely sensational offensively. My issue is that when they look at John Stockton obviously was tough as nails, a stout point guard, made decision-making, was sublime. Of course he was. But in the same breath, in terms of his talent, you know, ball handling, shooting, et cetera, I didn't find him to be all that. I clearly believed, we all know that Isaiah Thomas was left off the Dream Team because his relationship with Jordan, Pippen, and other players. It wasn't because John Stockton deserved to be on a team ahead of him. We all know that Isaiah Thomas got hosed. He should have been on the original Olympic Dream Team in Barcelona in 1992. That's one of the biggest travesties in the history of the sport. Shame on the – it's to shame on basketball for not making sure Isaiah Thomas was a part of that team. Even though Stockton loves him, he introduced Stockton into the Hall of Fame. We get all of that. But Stockton, I found him to be just a rock-solid, hard-nosed, productive point guard, but not that guy. And Karl Malone, let me tell you something about Karl Malone. Karl Malone retired as his second all-time leading scorer. He was a, you know, pick-and-pop, elbow jump shot. Muscle, masculine, very, you know, very muscular, could finish at the basket with those elbows, stuff like that. Could definitely finish on a break, but his all-around skill, his agility, his athleticism, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't find him to be that dude. When I look at Donovan Mitchell, I say, matter of fact, with Karl Malone, let me say this for you right here, doggy. I think that the second greatest power forward in the history of basketball behind Tim Duncan was Kevin McHale. 10 feet and in. You could not stop him. He, to me, was better than Karl Malone in the post. Couldn't shoot from the outside like Karl Malone could.
Yep.
Didn't get in the open floor like Karl Malone could. But back to the basket, 10 feet in him, 10 feet and in, Karl Malone wasn't even in his stratosphere.
That's how I don't disagree. You forgot Pettit.
I didn't have that footage about Pettit.
Rebounds.
I didn't have the footage about Pettit, okay?
But you're right, though. I agree. Everything you said.
Donovan Mitchell, look at his ball handling skills, his three-point shooting, his mid-range game, his strength, his ability to finish at the basket, stuff like that. I believe that the only argument that can be made against him is Pete Maravich. From a talent perspective, there is no one else in the history of the Jazz franchise that you can point to, strictly from a talent perspective, that usurps Donovan Mitchell. Nobody.
Kumbaya, kumbaya.
I was going to say, are we agreeing on this?
I agree on everything he said. I don't believe it took me an hour and a half, but I agree with everything he said. He's sharp today out there in Vegas. How about that?
Wow, I'm impressed.
Not bad.
I guess that's all we got then. Anything else, Stephen A.? Nothing?
No, I was just, like I said, he got me because I was thinking Utah. I wasn't thinking New Orleans. And that's why I got, because I would have mentioned Pete Maravich. I actually would have mentioned Pete Maravich.
All right,
because he's right about his offensive wizardry. There's no doubt about it. Matter of fact, even though it was in a different way, the kind of wizardry that we credit Kyrie Irving for having, once upon a time, that's what we felt about Pete Maravich as an offensive talent. Think about that.
100%.
So I'm just saying, there's a good point.
Hey, we agree. I don't believe it.
That's a perfect way.
Out there in Vegas with that wonderful, it looks like Mo Green. He's out there in Vegas with that one. Remember Mo Green when Cologne walked in there in the movie?
You like it.
Listen, man.
As soon as I get off the air, I'll be watching High Heat.
Oh, yes.
I'll be watching High Heat.
Scream about those baseballs, you know, because they're all slick and everybody's getting beamed. I'll do that in a few minutes.
Hey, listen.
I love you. Listen. You are the best.
I'm worried about my Yankees.
I love you, too.
I'm worried about my Yankees, though. I'm worried about my Yankees.
He is a great guy. Everybody asks me, is he a decent guy? Yeah, he's not a bad guy. He's okay.
Yeah, not bad. Thanks, Mad Dog. This has been fun.
We'll see you next week.
Of course. Good job.
I like my bad boy reputation.
What a volleyball player we have here. What a volleyball right here. Flo Hyman.
That's what we do now. That's what we do now on first date. You talking volleyball?
Yes.
You talking volleyball?
It's a great sport, Stephen A. Let's not knock volleyball, okay?
It is a great sport.
Okay.
But I didn't know. I don't know much about it. I like to watch it when I'm on the beach. I like to watch a little bit about volleyball. All right.
No worries.
Will Chamberlain. Will Chamberlain.
Yeah, he did. He did play volleyball. So did Joel Embiid.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
All right, Stephen A., we got two NBA playoff games tonight. Bulls, Bucks, Warriors, Nuggets. Who do you have winning tonight?
Well, first of all, both series will end tonight. The Milwaukee Bucks, it's a cakewalk. Zach LaVine and Alex Caruso aren't expected to play. They'll be out. And in the case of the Golden State Warriors, Denver accomplished their goal. They avoided getting swept. It ends tonight. Steph Curry, Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson, Lethal Weapon 3 explodes. They close it out and wait for Memphis.
Love that. Big day tomorrow. I'm actually flying out to Vegas, so I'll see you there.
Excuse me.
Right after this. I'm going out there for the draft. I'll see you very soon.
You know what I'm
saying? Bye.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.